Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Well, good morning, everyone. If there's anybody visiting here today, and we do have some visitors, it's great to have you along. My name's Andrew, I'm the senior pastor, and it's my great privilege to bring God's word to you today. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 16, and you may be asking the question, well, what has Psalm 16 got to do with Good Friday? Well, on the very first day of the Christian church, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter preached the very first sermon, and he preached from Psalm 16. And his message was, is that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins and that he rose again. So I figured if it was good enough for Peter, it would be good enough for me, and hopefully it will be good enough for you today. But what is the message of Psalm 16? What is actually David, who writes this psalm, what is he actually wanting to communicate to us? Well, this is a psalm where the psalmist cries out for a refuge that cannot be shaken, a foundation that is firm, a security in an insecure world, and a love that cannot be lost. Just imagine that. Just imagine that if you left today, if you could have a refuge, a foundation, and a security, and a love that you could never lose, just imagine that you could actually build your life upon that foundation. How would your life be changed, and how would my life be changed? They're the ideas that I want for us to explore this morning. So how about we pray, ask God to speak to us, and then we'll look at this passage together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this community of faith as we've gathered here on Good Friday. God, we acknowledge that your scriptures are breathed from you to us, that they're reliable and trustworthy and true. We acknowledge that they actually point us towards Jesus and the message of his life, death, and resurrection. So God, I pray that in some special way, that through your Spirit, you just actually might captivate our hearts and our minds, change our priorities, and help us to see the beauty and the wonder of Jesus today. Amen. Well, the psalmist, King David, starts in verse 1. He says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. And then in verse 8, he says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So David is actually talking about how do you actually become an unshakable person in an unshakable world. Verse 8, he says, I will not be shaken. I don't know about you, but that's not often my experience. I often feel that I actually am shaken. Often I feel that I'm actually a very shakable person. Our kids, they're not great at skateboarding, but every now and again they get their skateboards out and they go down a big steep hill, and the further they go down, the faster they go, and then towards the end they start to get the death wobbles. And as a parent, you watch that and you think, well, we're only seconds away from a crash, and we're only seconds away from skin and blood and bones and a trip to the hospital and all that kind of stuff. They've got the death wobbles. But, sometimes that's how I feel like I live my life.
that, you know, the pace and the pressures and the difficulties and the frustrations and the challenges of life, it seems like you just gain more and more speed and you get the death wobbles. And the psalmist says, I am an unshakable person, but I often don't feel that way. Everything about modern life seems to create the illusion of certainty. Our modern engineering, our buildings, our technology and science, our bank balances, our degrees, our careers, our health insurance, all seem to create this illusion that our life is secure and that we are protected from the storms of life. Yeah, we've seen, haven't we, over the last year, that a minute little virus that we cannot actually see, that we can't detect, can actually turn the world upside down. And I don't know about you, but actually I find this world to be in an emotionally insecure place as well. Nobody told me about the emotional intensity of marriage and being a parent. That the things we love, the people we love, often drift away from us. That the friends you have sometimes move. Sometimes the relationships that you have that are so dear to you are broken and fractured. The pain of losing somebody to death. The emotional energy that comes from sitting in the doctor's office and hearing that diagnosis, not over somebody else, but over you. I find this world to be an incredibly insecure place. It's insecure in the way that we actually live life. It's insecure emotionally. Yet David, the psalmist, says, I have found a foundation that is firm, a security in an insecure world, and a love that can never be lost. And so how do you actually get that? If we knew how to get that, we could actually make money, could we not? Well, we have to see what we run to. Look at verse 4. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. So in the ancient world, we know that in the time of David, all the other nations actually believed not in one God, but actually in many gods. So there was the god of fertility and wealth and beauty and marriage and health and career and prosperity and love and athletics. And it was the idea that you had these high places on top of these hills, these shrines, these temples. And perhaps you wanted a child, you wanted a baby, and so you'd go up to this temple shrine and you'd give money and you'd actually worship the god of fertility. Maybe you actually wanted a crop, and so you'd go up to the rain god. Or maybe your footy team, like my football team, Hawthorn, aren't doing so well, so you'd go up to the sporting god and give your money, only to realise that there is no god that could actually help Hawthorn this year. We actually laugh at that, don't we? We think this idea of many gods, these shrines on top of these hills, that's silly, that's kind of nonsense to us. But run we do. Verse 4, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. To run here means to pant, to be exhausted, to put all your energy into. And a lot of modern life is actually exhausting, is it not? The sense that we're just endlessly running after things and pursuing things to seek to actually build our life upon these things. Often modern life feels like, you know, on a treadmill in a gym, that you're putting all this energy into it. You're running and you're running and you're running, but it feels like you're actually not getting anywhere. And that's what David says, is if we actually build our life on false foundations, that is what life will be like. Now, I need to be careful here, because I know that preachers like me, sometimes, you know, we can talk about marriage and we can talk about family and career and wealth and all these things, and it sounds like we're really negative against these things, but we're not. The Bible isn't. The Bible says that marriage and friendship and love, that career and work and wealth, these are all actually great gifts given to us by God, but none of them are actually strong enough. None of them are actually permanent enough. None of them are actually solid enough for you to build your life upon. And so what is the answer to find this security in life? Well, verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Literally in Hebrew, it says, beyond you, no good. So David is speaking like a Tasmanian. I'm a Tasmanian. He says, beyond you, no good. David says, I can't see any real good beyond you, God. Lord, you alone, verse 5, are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. Portion means wealth. Cup means my experience. My lot means my security. And think about who King David is. King David is the king of Israel at the height of its prosperity. He's a Jew. He's a believer in the one true God. And so think about King David. He had the greatest wealth. He was probably one of the most wealthiest people on the face of the planet in his day. Yet he says to God, he says, God, you are my wealth. Think about David. As king, he would have had all the pleasures. I'm sure he had a whole cabinet of Penfold's grains just in the cupboard there somewhere. He would have servants actually looking after him. He would have great entertainment. Yet he says to God, you are my joy and my pleasure. David would have had a vast army. He had Jerusalem with these big, thick, high walls that were built around him, seemingly actually giving him security, yet he says to God, you, God, are my security. I used to be a chippy. I'm not a very good chippy, so don't get me to do any building at your place. I'm pretty rough. But one thing that I actually learned about building is that the most important part of any building is the foundation. And here David is actually echoing the words of Jesus, or really Jesus is echoing the words of David. Remember that parable that Jesus gave about the house that was built on rock or the house that was built upon the sand? Jesus actually talked about the foundations that we actually build our lives upon. But not to be critical of Jesus, but the analogy doesn't actually quite work. See, you might actually be here today and thinking, well, you know, I'm not a believer in Jesus. I don't believe in this Christianity stuff. So I guess my life must be that life actually built upon the sand. Or you might actually be saying, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. I believe in the teachings of Jesus and I'm building my life upon the rock. But I actually think for most of us, perhaps for almost all of us in this room, there are parts of our life that are actually being built upon God and upon Jesus and his teaching. But then there's a whole heap of stuff in our life that is actually being built upon things that are actually really fragile and temporary. And that is why we all feel so insecure. That when the storms come, and they do come, they actually reveal the foundation of our lives. So if you build your life on your career and if that is threatened, you will collapse with it. If you build your life on your health and if that is threatened, you will collapse with it. If you build your ego on success and if that is threatened, you will collapse with it. If you build your life on the opinions of others, if that is threatened or if that is taken away from you, you will collapse with it. So can I ask you the question? Where is it that you seek to actually find security? What is the true foundational principle in your life? How do we get to this place where we can be unshakable people in an unshakable world? Well, look at verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. I don't know actually how David actually wrote these words. When David wrote these words, Israel really had no understanding of the afterlife, no understanding of the new heaven and the new earth. Yet David is actually convinced of two things here. He's actually convinced that death itself cannot separate him from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus his Lord. He says, God, you are my portion and you my cup. I actually take delight in you. It is in your face and in your presence that I find security for my life. Now, how did David actually say that? I don't know how David actually said that. But I do know how you and I can say that today. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, preaching on Psalm 16, says this, seeing what was to come, talking about David, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, and that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. And Jesus is exalted to the right hand of God. don't know where you actually stand faith-wise today. Maybe you actually don't believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but can we all just do a little thought experiment this morning? Just actually imagine, you may not believe that this is true, but just imagine that it is true for you. Imagine that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's God in the flesh, that he's the one who actually makes God known to us. Imagine before the creation of the world that this God saw you and knew you, and that this Jesus actually went willingly to the cross to die for your sin and for my sin. Imagine actually that 3 days later that this Jesus actually rose from the grave, actually defeating death, so that anybody who has actually placed their faith and their trust and their confidence in Jesus may also know that there is life, eternal life after death. Just imagine that was true. How would that actually change the way that you would live life? It would change the way every one of your tears. You would still cry, but you wouldn't be destroyed. It would change the way that you actually handle defeat. That would still hurt, but you wouldn't actually collapse. It would change the way when things were actually slipping out of your grasp and you felt that you were losing control because you knew that there was actually a God who is in control. It would change the way that you would actually receive criticism because you know that the greatest love in the universe is actually upon you. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, he poses this question. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's asking a real question. If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 35, he asks another question. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Paul is actually saying, think about the worst possible things that could actually happen to you. Suffering, illness, death, decay, the loss of job. And he asks the question, can any of these separate us from the love of God? And then he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. David said it. David was actually convinced that there was such a great love in the universe that it could actually never be taken from him. Peter said, I'm convinced that Jesus was actually raised from the dead. Paul says that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And friends, just to finish, just hold with me for one more minute. I don't know about you, but when I hear somebody having some great philosophy of life, saying that there is actually a firm foundation that you can actually build your life upon, I want to know that they've been through something. I want to know that they've actually experienced something of the hardship of life. I want to know that this philosophy has actually been tested. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says this about his own life. He says, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in dangers from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jews, and in dangers from Gentiles. In danger in city, in danger in country, in danger in sea, in danger from false beliefs. Believers, I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. He's been through a bit. But he says this. He says, I've been through all of that. But he says, I am convinced that nothing in all of creation, nothing in all of life's experiences, will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, that is the foundation, that is the security that you and I can build our lives upon today. The love of God that is expressed to us in Christ Jesus, and knowing that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from this great love. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that somehow today that we actually just might take hold of this great message of strength and security and comfort and of foundation, that we might actually be able to see that Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection and his love for us is the one sure foundation. It's actually the only thing that can never be taken from us. And so, God, I pray that somehow in faith that you will renew our trust and our confidence in him, and that we will seek to build our lives upon him today and tomorrow and in the coming weeks and months. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.